God, I just thank you for that message and song this morning. I just thank you, Father, and just pray that truly, Lord, we are inviting you in to be those things that we just sang about, that you would be our shield and our strength and our portion, our strong tower, Father God. I just pray now that our hearts and our minds and our ears would be open, Lord, to this word that you are sending to us this day. That, Lord, it would return to you the way that you have intended it. May you be glorified in it. Your name we pray this morning. Amen.
I do want to take just a minute this morning to encourage you to participate in two things that we do here every Sunday morning. And one is to fill out the connection card. So we know that you're here. If you have any prayer concerns, prayer requests, that you can put those on there. And we would know about those things. And you can just drop those as we pass the offering baskets later during our worship time. Or you can put those in the baskets as you leave in the back. The other thing is that I want to encourage you to do is that we provide these little sticky things here for name tags. And I want to encourage you to use these because it helps a lot of people get to know each other and know each other by name. And that's just a good way to, if there's somebody who's new here, that you identify yourself, basically. They can see your name. And it just adds a level of being able to get to know you a little bit better. And I want to encourage you to participate and wear a name tag if you have an opportunity to do so as you come in on Sunday mornings. I always try to wear mine. I forget sometimes. My wife has to elbow me and says, "Your name tag's not on." And sometimes it just falls off. I have this one shirt. It just won't stay on. But this one, it's there. So do yours next week, and we'd love to get to know everybody's on a first-name basis here as well. Well, we are taking a couple of weeks' break from the story as we've been going through a chronology of the Scripture of the Bible. What we've said is that we started in Genesis, and we're going all the way through the entire Bible and how everything points to Jesus, and then how that, from there on, points to His return. And so we're going through a 31-week message series, and we're going to start week 5 next week. We're taking some breaks throughout the year as we do that, so come prepared next week, and we're going to be back into that. But this week we decided to take a couple of weeks off. Now we've decided to take a couple of weeks off. I got to get my lips working correctly this morning. And do a couple of weeks on sacrifice. And what does that mean? And being a living sacrifice. And Paul writes in the book of Romans that he urges us to, in view of God's mercy, because of what God has done for us, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. And what does that really mean? And it's really taking what Jesus did, which was give himself as the ultimate sacrifice. And he gave his life for a ransom for many, as the Scriptures tell us. And by this being living sacrifices, is that while we may not be called to give up our lives for the benefit of somebody else physically, though some are and some have been, but for most of us, that's living every day with the sacrificial idea in mind, and that is this: that I'm willing to give up something of myself so somebody else can have a blessing from the Lord, that I'm willing to say no to something so that somebody else can receive God's grace, or they can receive an act of service, as we talked about last week as we looked at living sacrifices. Well, this week we're going to look not only at service, is what we talked about last week, but today we want to talk about the sacrifice of giving. The sacrifice of giving. And what I mean by that is how do we manage our finances in terms of what the Bible has to say? A lot of times this is sometimes an uncomfortable subject to talk about because it strikes to the very core of the most personal thing to us, and that's how we spend our money. But the Bible talks a lot about that. And what I want to answer today is, why would God want us to give? Why would God want us to give towards His work and the things that go on? And why do we take an offering? There's a lot of things on the exterior that we can see that we can say, well, the external view is we give because it helps propel the ministry of the church. It's very obvious. The things that happen here within the walls and outside the walls of Ellettsville Christian Church only happen because of the generosity of you responding to what the Bible calls us to do. And it goes out to the mission field. The lights are on this morning. Because we pay the electric bill. How do we pay the electric bill? Because of your generosity. You all have received and are probably aware that in the fall we're going to be remodeling this room and this building right here. And there's going to be opportunities to participate in sacrificial giving for that. And those are the external things. I want to talk more about that later. But today what I want us to look at is the internal difference that giving makes, that sacrificing by giving makes. What does it do on the inside of us? Well, there's a story that Senator Bob McEwen tells about a time when he took his young son to McDonald's because his young son wanted some McDonald's French fries. Who can resist a McDonald's French fries? Don't they smell good? Yes. Thank you. I mean, am I the only one in here? Yeah, they smell good. I mean, who can resist a McDonald's French fry? And so his son wanted some French fries. And so he took his son to McDonald's, and he got his son a large fry. And his son, that's all he wanted, were the French fries. And they sat down at the table, and the son started to eat the fries. And very instinctively, Bob started to reach over and grab a fry. Now, I know none of you are guilty of grabbing your kids' fries. I've only done that twice. But, there's a lot of finger pointing going on already. So here he goes and instinctively grabs this French fry, and the son slaps his dad, he slaps Bob on the hand and says, "Hey, that's my French fry. You can't have that French fry." And Bob said that three thoughts immediately went through his mind. He says, "One, I realize my child has forgotten that I am the source of his fries." He says, "I'm the one who brought him to McDonald's. I'm the one who walked up to the counter, and I'm the one that paid for it with my own money. And yet he doesn't realize that without me, he would have no fries, because I'm the source of the fries." He said the second thing he thought was, "My son has forgotten that ultimately I control the fries." He says, "I could take them away from him instantly and say, 'That's it, all right, no more fries for you.'" He said, "But on the other hand, if I wanted to, I could buy him a truckload of French fries and bury him in French fries, because I have the means to do that." And then he said, number three, "I realize I didn't really need his fries. I could go up and buy my own fries. I could go to the counter by myself and buy more fries. But what I really wanted for my son was to learn to be unselfish." See, he wanted his son's heart. Folks, those three reasons are why God wants us to be generous. He wants us to realize that he's the one who's in control of our finances. He's the one that provides for us. He's the one that controls it, and that he could give us more, or at any time that can be taken away. And for whatever reason, some of you have experienced that. He says, and in the end of it all, what I really wanted him to know is that it wasn't the French fries, it was the condition, it was his heart that I wanted. You see, I believe that's so true with how God views us and our money. It's not about the amount, it's not about the money, but it represents where our heart is in terms of our relationship with God. See, we have to realize that generosity is talked more about in the Bible than many other things. Listen to this. The word faith, or its variations in Scripture, is mentioned 246 times. The word hope, which is a very important part of our Christian faith, that idea of having hope, is used 185 times. And the word love, and that's the word that, you know, it's obviously important. It's part of our mission statement that Ellisville Christian Church exists to love God and to love others. And it's very important, and that word's used 733 times. But the idea in this word of giving, or give, or being generous, that is used 2,285 times in Scripture. You know, it really gives us a focus of where God wants our attention to be. The Bible talks more about give and giving than any of those other issues. Why? Because giving is the expression of our faith, our hope, in our love. If you were here last week, remember I said that maturity, growing in our faith, is not an end in and of itself. See, we can come to the point where we say, I want to grow in my faith, and that's great. I love it when people want to study their Bible and learn the Bible, and that's why we're doing the story, and that we're taking the chronology of Scripture, and we're going to be reading through it and teaching through that. But let me say, if that is the purpose in and of itself, is for us just to learn and grow, then we're missing the mark, because the purpose of maturity is action. The purpose of maturity is service and giving. That's where the rubber meets the road. See, it's that place where we say, oh yeah, I understand what the Bible says. And taking it from my understanding, and I have it in here and in here, and taking it with our hands and pushing it out to those who are around us and distributing it to those who are around us. Paul puts it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. He says, since you excel in everything, he's saying, hey, you are growing in your faith. You're growing in your knowledge. You're growing in how you talk to each other. You're growing in earnestness. You really have that desire. He says, since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love that we have kindled in you, then listen to this. Also, that see that you also excel in this grace of giving. He says, see that you excel in this grace of giving. Sometimes we don't like to preach on this or teach on this because, well, it might offend somebody. If you're offended, I'm really sorry. But it's what the Bible teaches. And I can't teach everything else but some sections. We teach it and we believe it and we live it all. But see, sometimes I think we have the wrong approach and we come to this at the wrong perspective. Because a lot of times when it comes to our giving, when it comes to how much we put in the offering plate for the work of the Lord, or how much we support a missionary, or how much we involve ourselves in giving, we say, well, this is what I can afford to give. And we come up with this figure in our mind and we say, okay, this is it. Or sometimes we say, there's no way I can afford to give. I have all these other things I need to give. There's no way I can afford to give. But see, here's the problem. When we look at it simply an issue of allocating a certain amount of funds, we're really short-circuiting the process of what God intends this to be as a part of our relationship with Him. It's not the idea of how much can we carve out of our budget. It's the idea of what are we willing to sacrifice in order to give. That's the key. Because if you look at it, no one could afford to give. I mean, yeah, you may have some leftovers, but that's really not the kind of giving that God's talking about. And so we come to this issue of where we deal with this word sacrifice, this living sacrifice. It means that I'm giving something up to say yes to giving something to God. Well, what I want us to do is look at a passage here in the book of Mark, because it illustrates this so clearly. And it's a passage you may be familiar with, and I don't have this one written down in your outline. So turn with me to Mark chapter 12. We're going to be in verse 41. We're going through a lot of scripture today, and the other ones I have in your outline, so we're not going to turn to each one of those as we get to them. But I want us to read this together here as I follow along as I read. And because it's a story of the widow's offering. Like I said, some of you may be familiar with this, but it really gets to the point of this idea of sacrifice. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41, reads this, Jesus sat down opposite of the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. And this would have been the Jewish temple at the time, and this would have been the time where they would come and they would give their offering, and they would go back to the teachings of Malachi, and this would be part of their tithe, their first fruits, their 10% there. And so he would say, he's talking about that. He says, many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Then listen to this. Calling his disciples to him, listen to what Jesus says. I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. How can two tiny coins, that's a fraction of what we would know as a penny, equal more than what would be the equivalent of hundreds or thousands of dollars that the others were putting in. Why? Because listen to verse 44. They all gave out of their wealth. They gave what they could afford. Okay, I can give that. Good night. But she gave out of her poverty. She put in everything, all she had to live on. Here's the difference. When you give sacrificially, in God's eyes, that is more than if we give just because, oh, we have the means to, and it's not really inconveniencing some of us, and we can just do it. And so what he's saying here is that the sacrificial gift, giving sacrificially, can go further for God's kingdom than money that's given as a leftover towards for him. And so when I look at that, I want us to look at, what does giving do for us? And I have some points here that we're going to go through, because I believe that as we begin to give, and we'll look at these external things that giving does later, but today let's look at these internal things that giving does when we participate in this part of worship. Well, the first thing is this: giving draws us closer to God. It's what the scriptures tell us there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Bottom line is, where you spend your money tells a lot about what's important to you. If recreation is important to you, you're going to spend a lot of money on recreation. If your house is important to you, you're going to spend a lot of money on your house and decorating and all these things. If your kids are important to you, you're going to spend a lot of money on your kids. I mean, you know, they are expensive anyway, but you'll go above and beyond. You know, wherever your treasure is, where you look in your checkbook, or get online and download your bank app and look at your statement there. I don't know if too many people carry checkbooks anymore, but where you are spending your money, that's where your heart is. Reminds me a lot when my wife and I first started dating back in our college days. I really liked her a lot, and I figured one of the ways that I'm going to show her that I like her is I'm going to just bestow upon her all sorts of things that are going to cost me money. So I would buy her clothes, I would buy her flowers, I would buy little gifts. I'd be going through a store and think, oh, this reminds me of Sarah, I got to go buy it and give it to her. And I would do all these things. I would take her out to dinner. Now granted, it was only Frisch's big boy, but we were in college. But I would do all these things. Why would you, some of you can identify, why would you spend all that kind of money on somebody? Because that's where my heart was, you know? That's what was important to me at that time. And that's where I wanted to invest in. And I looked at that and I said, there's where I want to spend my money. You see, I hear a lot of people say that Jesus is the most important thing in their life. Does your treasure reflect that? Does your treasure reflect that? See, that's an easy statement to make. Jesus is the most important thing to my life. You see, because there comes a time, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to, because it fits. There comes a time where we have to see Jesus, and we say he's the most important thing in my life because we see him as our Savior. We see him as forgiving our sins. We see him as giving us blessings. And we see him as somebody who will fulfill our needs. And we say, Jesus is the most important thing in my life because of what I receive. And that's knowing Jesus as Savior. And boy, we all have to be there. But to put your treasure in line with the heart of God is when you go from just seeing Jesus and God as Savior to seeing him as Lord and living your life and doing the things and sacrificing for other people. So let me ask you, what does your checkbook tell you about your heart and where your heart is? You say, well, Chad, I'm not real sure how I need to be spending. I have a lot of things that require my money and my time and all of these things. I don't know how much I should give and how much I should do and how to do that. And that's a process of growth that happens over time. It doesn't just happen all of a sudden. But there's a verse I want to encourage you, James chapter 1, verse 5. And this is for anything in life, not just for this scenario. James chapter 1, verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God," and listen to this, "who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you." Just go to God and say, "Lord, help me in this area of my life. Help me know if I'm doing the right things, if I'm honoring you with this part of my life." And when we do that, It draws us closer to God because it's like a magnet, your heart. Whatever is important to you, things are going to gravitate to it. And if God's important to you, you're going to grow closer to Him. Well, the second thing that giving does is it breaks the grip of materialism. Now, we live in a very materialistic culture, and there's really no denying that. And I've heard some younger folks say, who are younger than me, well, we're not all about stuff. As they sat there on their iPads and their iPods and texting and all, I'm like, sure. You know, we're just about different stuff, your generation and my generation. So anyway, we live in this very materialistic culture, and it's caused us to have a crisis of debt in our culture. Consumer debt is at an all-time high. It's the number one source of conflict in marriages, reported by psychologists and marriage counselors. It's the number one leading cause of divorce. You would think infidelity and things like that. No, people can work through those, but it's the money stuff that really pry people apart. And we look at this, and I see that there's only one antidote to materialism. And the one antidote to materialism is this, to give. Because if materialism is get, I want it, and I want it now, regardless of what the consequences are, then the antidote to that is to give. To give. Every time I give, I'm breaking the grip of materialism on my life. It really becomes a sort of spiritual victory. And it's totally counterculture. It says, no, I am not going to buy into the myth that my life consists simply just to accumulate stuff. I'm not going to buy into the idea that our culture says that my self-worth is equal to my net worth. I'm not going to buy into this idea that I can't be happy in life until I have everything on my want list and I'm satisfied with those material possessions. Because let me tell you something, enough is never enough. And you want more and more and more. The time that I give and the time when I break that grip of materialism is when I look deep into my heart and I see that, yeah, I could have this or I could give this money away, and I choose to give this money away and I sacrifice. I have a spiritual victory. The only antidote to materialism is giving. And every time I give, I break that grip a little bit more. Do I still struggle with that? You betcha. I'm no different than anybody else. I walk through Best Buy and I walk through Sam's Club and I get the I needs. You know, oh, I need that. I mean, there's stuff that I didn't even know existed until I see it in the store and all of a sudden I need it. Oh, my life can't be complete without it. Anybody identify with that? Okay. I get that way too. And it's a struggle, but over time, we loosen that grip. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, and that is true. That is true. Well, why else would we give? What happens when we give? Well, giving strengthens my faith. Giving simply strengthens my faith. Sooner or later, we all have to make this decision. We'll come to this crisis of decision where we have to answer this question. Can I trust God with my finances? Can I trust God with my finances? Can He be counted on to keep His promises? One of the things I teach is that God always keeps His promises. And some of the most profound promises are that I am going to provide all of your needs. Now, we can say that, but it's really hard to believe it and act in accordance to that. And when we give sacrificially, you know what it says? It says that I can trust you, God, with my finances. I can count on your provision for my life. And we grow spiritually. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13, Paul makes an interesting statement here. And he says, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. And then listen to this. And for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Basically, what this is saying, that by giving, by being generous, it proves the reality of your faith. And proving that reality of your faith draws other people close to God. See, every time I give to God, not only does it break that grip of materialism, but my faith in God is strengthened. Why? because it requires trust. And it's the exercise of our spiritual muscle. It's just like when we physically work out. Remember last week I said, I used the illustration of the bodybuilders who build muscle simply just for show. And there's really no practical application for it. You know, it's sort of like, you know, when we go and work out, anybody here work out, gone through an exercise regime, you started working out and you really get into it and you really start to see some of the results. But then you wane a little bit from that workout routine, what begins to happen? You stay strong and you stay fit? Thank you. Oh, I am amazed at how fast you lose muscle tone the moment you stop working out. And the same is true spiritually. The moment that we stop doing things, the moment we have made a commitment before to give in our past, but some other things have come along the way, and we waned a little spiritually. We've stepped back, and we've not really taken that commitment as serious as maybe we had once committed to, or maybe as we know that God wants us to. And we need to, when we give, it brings back, it strengthens. But sometimes it's hard, isn't it? You know, when you go back to work out after you've not worked out for a long time and you step foot in that gym and you try to go do the things you used to be able to do, it hurts. You know, the same is true with spiritual issues. And so it takes, and the more you do it and the longer you're away, the more difficult it is to re-engage. And that's Satan trying to get his foot in your life and saying, you know what, you don't need to give. He's trying to tell you right now, Chad, he doesn't know what he's talking about. This is for other people. This isn't for you. This is for all of us. This is the scripture. Why do we have to talk about this in church, some people ask? Why do you have to go there? You know, it's such a personal subject. I don't know about you, but I have a good forgetter. Anybody know what a forgetter is? It's that part in my mind that causes me to forget things. And over time, the more I get detached from something or a topic that I don't talk about or we don't teach about or that's not on my vision, we tend to forget about it. So it's important that we come by and remember that when we give, it strengthens our faith. It's a component that some of us want to live without in our faith, and we wonder why, you know, things just aren't going our way all the time, or we wonder why we seem out of sync with God. Sometimes it could be because we're out of sync with this part of our spiritual life. So we look at it that it strengthens my faith. Let me go to number 4. It's a test of my maturity. One of the things that God tests here on earth is how mature we are. And one of the ways that he tests our maturity is through our finances. And you think, well, why would he do that through finances? I believe it's because we spend so much of our time making money, saving money, spending money, managing money, and investing our money, that we build our lives around it. And it's really the core of our being. So God says, I'm going to use this as the litmus test or the acid test of your responsibility and of your maturity in your faith. And he says this in Luke chapter 16. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, if you are untrustworthy with the worldly wealth, that means if you do not manage your money well and that you're not a good steward of it, who is going to trust you with the true riches of heaven? This is really a powerful verse when we look at it. The implications of this verse really cut right to the core, because basically what Jesus is saying here is that if I'm not faithful in the financial things here on earth, God is not going to trust me with greater spiritual responsibility in heaven. And that's a serious thing there. Jesus spoke more about money than he did about heaven. He spoke more about money than he did about hell. Why? We already know that God doesn't need our money. He controls all the French fries, doesn't he? It's because of what that money represents, which to you and me is our life. It's where we go from, again, this is where we go from seeing Jesus simply as Savior to seeing him as Lord. He can have all the French fries he wants. But when we give back to him, it represents the heart and the essence of who we are back to him. And so it is a test of my maturity when we're able to sacrificially give back to the Lord. Then the fifth thing here is it brings blessings. And I want you to know that We're not a health and wealth gospel church. I don't believe that God intends everyone to be millionaires. And if you're struggling financially, you know, I don't believe that's God's punishment on you. It may be indicative of some things that you need to change in your life. But, you know, giving brings blessings. Proverbs 22:9 says, "The generous will themselves be blessed, for they will share, for they share their food with the poor." In Deuteronomy chapter 15:10, "Give generously to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to." Folks, there have been times where I've seen God's blessing in my life because I believe I was faithful. There are also times where I believe that I haven't seen God's blessing in my life because I believe the lie that, well, you know, there's other people who can give. And there are times where I stepped out of being faithful. Yeah, I gave, but it really wasn't at a level of what would honor God. You know, if you come and you put a few dollars in here or there, that doesn't even pay for the goldfish crackers the kids eat. But I see a direct connection with the blessings. And they may not always be financial. They may be blessings in other ways. But there is a direct correlation between giving and being blessed in your life. And then 6, the reason why we give and what giving does for us is it brings joy to our life. It brings joy to our life. I just want to say something here. I don't want you to think that I believe God wants to be a killjoy and not let you enjoy anything in life, or if you have something nice in your life, that you should be guilty about it, because I believe that some of those blessings can be material things. But the idea is we have to have it in proportion. When I talk about where your treasures, your heart is, hey, you may go out and buy a nice sports car because that's what you have the money to do and you're able to do that. God bless you. I'm happy that you can do it. As long as that's in proportion with your giving first and having that in the right direction. Many of you know that for many years I've been trying to attempt to get my pilot's license. And this has started on multiple occasions in my life from when I was in my young 20s. And it seems like I'd get started and something would come along and that it would, I'd have to stop, you know. We'd start having kids and then a transmission went out and then I had back surgery and then we had, but I always said this, and the reason why I'm still at in my 40s accomplishing now, finally realizing this and doing it, is because I made a commitment that I would never put that above other things. I would never put that above my commitment to giving to the Lord. And if taking, you know, flying lessons was not going to allow me to give to the Lord, then I was going to sacrifice that. And now we're to the point where, you know, that's a blessing that I'm able to enjoy and pursue right now in my life. So don't get me wrong and think that I think that, you know, that I'm saying that God's a killjoy and doesn't want you to have any blessings, because He does. But one of the things I think, because it can also bring joy to your life when you give. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Jesus says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And the scriptures tell us that God loves a cheerful giver. In scripture, we're told that the sacrificial giving that we do can give you a fullness in your life that you couldn't have if you were withholding that money. I always say this, when I give, I believe that God can bring more out of that money than I could if I had it myself. And so with God's help, I sacrificially give, and I trust Him to bring the joy in my life, and He does. But why should we give? We should give because Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice for us. Going back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in light of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your true and proper worship." Would you pray with me? Father God, as we look through your scriptures today, it is my prayer that we would see in the ways that you would desire us to